What do you think it means to be a person?
I don't know.
Me either. Really. Say scratch that again.
Scratch that a fan.
I'm Caitlin Metz, a non-binary illustrator and designer.
I'm Rebecca Tossig, a disabled storyteller and writer.
And this is Scratch That, Parenting and Reparenting Off Script.
A podcast for people trying to parent and person at the same time.
Head over to our Patreon, Scratch That Podcast, for show notes and a transcript of today's episode, and also to join the conversation.
Thank you for being here. Hi, friend.
Happy Monday.
Okay, so what's happened is we've hit record mid-conversation. We hopped on the call and we were prepping for a swirly tornado conversation we wanted to have and immediately got caught in the swirls and just said, stop, we have to hit record and pick this up in the middle. So maybe we'll start, Caitlin, with you kind of talking about a recent experience or set of experiences you've had that have had you in your deep feels coming off of Easter. This last weekend was Easter weekend. So tell us about what you've been feeling and processing.
So this past weekend, Andrew and Charlie and I went to Chicago, and it happened to fall over Easter weekend. It wasn't necessarily planned that way. And while we were there, I don't even know, I'm trying to remember what like sparked this, but I was just looking at his hands. Like he was just kind of sprawled out somewhere and his hands were just like laying across my lap. And I have no idea what the connection was, but staring at his hands, I was like, oh my God, he is 4 and a half. And he has never been told that he was born bad, is inherently evil, has original sin. No one is telling him that someone was like brutally murdered because of how bad he is. And I got so emotional about it because I was just remembering, you know, all of the Easter services that I have attended over the years and at how young an age. I was just like filled with terror about hell. Mm-hmm. And it felt so good to know that he's not going to experience that he's not. And it felt like healing in a way for my inner child. And it just got me thinking about, how I just believe that. I think I believe. This is a swirly conversation where we don't quite know what we believe. But I was thinking about how I just think that babies and children are born perfectly good. Mm-hmm. And something that I thought a lot about with Charlie and when I was pregnant with him, I just kept being like, let me do the least to corrupt him. Like, let me do the least to change his essence. I grew up in this like, break the spirit, spare the rod, spoil the child. You have to like beat the bad out of them. There was this like urgency to control and to mold a child in the way they should go. And I just reject that idea. I don't think that there is watching Charlie become and like guiding him in directions of kindness. And I don't ever see his, I try not to see his like little stinker behavior or when he's kind of being an asshole, as we all are, as like, that is not proof of him being inherently bad. Mm-hmm. It's proof that he needs a snack or he's tired or the toy that he doesn't want to share feels really special to him, but he doesn't know how to communicate it. Or when he's like punching his cousin off my lap, he's worried that I'm going to love the cousin more than him. Like they're at the root. I feel like there's almost always a reason for the behavior and is an opportunity for me to help him level up on a skill or just to remove him from a situation because he's not capable of handling it. It just was sitting so deeply in me. All these thoughts were swirling around, and I was thinking a little of Dr. Becky and how she's like this good inside, which is like a full pendulum swing from how I was raised. Anyway, so I bring you that, and I want to know how you feel, because you are so good at pulling us back into gray area, into nuance.
How fun.
But I feel like there is this like distinct pendulum swing. And so I want to get messy.
Well, I do too. Well, kind of. I don't know. I think that what you shared is really beautiful. Can we take one step back? Because as you were sharing that, it made me want to hear more about little you and the world you were introduced, or the world you were born into, and the narratives that were sort of crushing you, basically, like this, you're bad and sinful, and the reason that someone had to be murdered. Like, what do you remember about the effect that had on you?
Okay, what's actually perplexing about this? My whole childhood, and even now in my life, I was the good child. I was the easy one. I was the good one. I came after a series of miscarriages. And then I was a really easy baby, apparently. And so there has been a tremendous amount of pressure on me.
Mm.
How much was like external and how much I took on myself, I don't know. To like solve, to fix, to bring things together. I've been the peacekeeper. I have been the glue. I like came to solve grief. And I did that. I was a perfect rainbow baby.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And so that was a narrative I was getting often at home, like from my mom at home. And I really held to that. Like, I needed to be good. It was like how I got validation. I'm an Enneagram 3. So all I need is for you to tell me I'm doing a good job. I'm a good girl.
Hmm.
And all the while, I'm being told these things, and I'm like, okay, I will be them. I will be them. I'm like clinging to them. I am going to church and hearing like how bad and sinful and depraved I am, how any like desire or thought or lust or curiosity or it is like evidence of my evilness. And I tried so hard to get saved, like over and over and over again, like just so many times, like going and crying and praying and meeting with pastors and being like, when will it feel real? When will I be good? Mm. And so there's this like tension where I was really like told that I was so good, and just always good. Like my innate nature was good. And then I watched some of my sisters who didn't have as easy of childhood as me, who had different experiences, who had different sensory needs, and they were bad. Like they were just brought up as bad. And it created a lot of conflict. So it's confusing.
Yeah.
Because I have always been the good one, and I had to be good, and that was how I belonged. And also underneath all of that, I still was depraved and totally bad.
So does that translate into that's such an interesting tension. Does that translate into you feeling like you are having to hold something up, like hold a goodness up that could fall apart at any second? Or is it like two selves? Or how did that feel or manifest? How do you conceptualize it?
For me, it was just wrapped up in belonging. Like the only way that I belonged is if I was good.
Okay. Okay.
And the more good I was, the more I belonged. And that was the only reason people liked me. Like I was the best at taking care of the kids at church. I was the best at making mashed potatoes for Sunday dinner. I was the best at playing the piano, and I was the best at doing this thing. And if I could just be good enough, then someone would love me.
So when did that start to unravel, or what did it look like for that to begin to unravel for you? Like how did you decouple yourself from the goodness being the belonging? Or did you? Is that still?
I think that's like a lifelong.
Yeah.
That is lifelong.
Okay. So what's standing out to me listening to you describe that is much less about what's inside of you and much more about a system, a controlling system that funnels people out by insiders and outsiders and demands a certain behavior, or you're outside or you don't belong. And that seems to be something that I'm thinking just in terms of parenting, and like how you are with Charlie and how I'm picturing myself with Otto, something I feel like I have more of a say in, or like have like a concrete ability to make choices about, of like, I don't know. As we were talking earlier about like, are you born bad inside? Like, you know, like we were taught in church, or are you good inside? Like Dr. Becky says. And to me, I have a lot of question marks about all of that. I feel much more like, I don't know if it's good or bad, but this is what it is. And this is what we have to work with. And everybody's different, and it looks like so many different things for different people. But I do think that thinking about the ecosystem I create around my kid and whether or not he belongs with me or not, or whether he will belong or whether I will abandon him or not, that is something I can make really definitive decisions about. And that I find that I feel that sturdier in that somehow.
Well, I think it's so much more complex than just, are you born good or are you born bad? Like, you were just born. Which probably like leads into, I'd be interested how this conversation intersects with like a nature nurture,
yeah,
thing. The thing that I know to be true for myself is that I do not believe that a child that I bring into the world, any child that is birthed into the world, is birthed inherently at its core bad. That it is filled with original sin. That it is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that that is true. I don't know what I don't know what it is that they're born with, but I don't believe that they're born like fundamentally missing a piece of themselves and are like destined for hell unless there's like an intervention. And I don't think that children need to be controlled or like modified. I don't think there needs to be this like grasping to make them not evil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think that the like high level of control and the shame for if you do bad, this, if you step outside the bounds of the bubble that we've created for you to live in, this is the only way we will stay connected. This is the only way you will be safe and belong here. And if you step out of that, then you're abandoned and you don't belong anymore. But I also like, I think that most of the time what you're saying about like a certain behavior being an unchecked need or a skill that hasn't been met. Yeah, I think that makes sense a lot of the time. But I also think, I don't know, I think that we have like a whole host of motivations or things that drive us as little beings. If my kid is like noticing someone different and is like his instinct is to be scared of someone because they're different from him or something. Like, I don't know that it feels useful to me to label that instinct as good or bad, but I think that there are reasons for things, and I think that we can engage with what it is, and I don't need to label it as anything other than like, oh, you're having this feeling. Let's explore it. Let's think about it. Is that a good impulse to lean into, or how could you lean into something that feels harder but is better? You know, like, I think to me, I see so much in the world around us that feels like driven by greed. And driven by the need for more power. And I don't know that I would say that all of that must inherently be because someone wasn't raised kindly or well. I think that there are some instincts that humans have that aren't great. And that shows up differently in everyone. And I hope and believe that my son is gonna grow and blossom to be a kind person that brings good things to the world. But I don't know that I think that every single instinct that he has is like perfectly fits into this map of like it's right and good, and I think it's like a number of things. And maybe what I want him to do is learn to be aware of it and learn how to be thoughtful about it and learn. I think about that self, that capital S self. And it's almost like if we have all of these different parts of us, and some of those parts of us maybe have some instincts that lead us to a lot of cruelty or a lot of self-interest, greed or whatever. And I think that maybe part of how I imagine it conceptually as a parent is just wanting to really bolster up and equip that capital S self to be really great at paying attention to all of those pieces and in charge and making decisions that lead to good things for more people.
Yeah, I definitely don't think that everything that I see a child do is like good or like that there. I think where I'm sitting is that I don't think that a behavior that we would align as like not good is proof of their inherent badness. I think that's where I'm like, there is like more space in there. And at where I am in parenting right now, I am constantly on the lookout for like, how do I resource my kid enough that he's able to access those, in quotations, good parts of himself, or that he has the spoons, the energy, the nutrition, the social awareness to move through the world in like pro-social, kind, thoughtful ways. And when he's not doing that, to be able to step back and to help him see like, hey, it's like we have a lot of conversations where it's like, I see you can't control your body right now. Like you don't have control of yourself. So I'm going to move you from this situation because you do not have the capacity. And it's not like you're bad, you're being so terrible. It's like you can't handle this. And so I'm going to remove you. And my goal is that that becomes such a skill for him that he could self-identify it and remove himself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I think we all are assholes sometimes, and I think everything is messy and complex, and I don't think that we're all just like moving around the world in kindness. Interrupting this episode to say thank you to everyone supporting the podcast on Patreon.
We love seeing your comments come through. We love getting to know each of you better. Like, you being there really means the world to us.
If you want to support the project financially, you can become a paying patron for as low as $5 a month. That's less than a latte.
But there's lots of free ways to support the podcast too. Sharing episodes, giving us one of those very pretty 5-star reviews, all of that makes a huge difference too.
And you can also join Patreon without paying, so the show notes will always be there for you. Okay, back to the show.
So it sounds like a lot of it, like where we're like landing in alignment is like the wanting self-awareness and like self-control, honestly, which is weird because the word control feels yucky because so much of what we're talking about is like connection over control, but like command of self, awareness of self.
I think about it more as this like self-awareness and like release of shame, because I think when you are experiencing a lot of shame, it can make you do more terrible things.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you already think that you are bad, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, so you have to like, I think it's about self-awareness and like humility and honesty about if you fuck up, and then how do you create the supports that you need to not do that? And I think when people get really evil, it's about like power and control, and there's no like acceptance of fault or like trying again, because that is so weak or scary. And I think when you hold this belief system that you're either good or you're bad,
mm-hmm.
you can't admit to any badness because now you're just bad. Do you know what I'm saying?
I think so.
Like if I could be all of the things, if I am not inherently, it's kind of like I'm not inherently good or bad, which is what you were saying earlier. And I think just the pendulum is to like start with like you are good.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm not either of them, then there's not shame in like existing in either space. Like something that I've thought about a lot in the last few years is that in some people's story of the experience of me, I am a villain. I am not, you know, I have caused harm, or and vice versa. I'm not the same person to everyone. Not everyone experiences me the same way. And it's kind of out of my control. Like I can do the best that I can do, but accepting that for some people, their experience or their story is different than mine. But I think it's just accepting nuance in this.
Well, and I think, I guess maybe part of what I hear you saying is that like, just the complexity of it, that like there's different, I don't know, like the evaluation of good or bad is so black and white. It's so one dimensional. There's so many different ways to evaluate goodness or badness. And part of that is the vantage point of who's looking and when. I mean, in some ways it makes me think it's kind of to go back to that neither good nor bad. It's almost like the human life is just a series of like endless decisions and they have endless outcomes to them. And I find myself very irritated. Like, I don't know if you have anybody in your life like this, but there are some people in my life that like cannot be culpable for anything. No matter what happens, they were always right. Their intentions were right. They were good, good, good. And I don't think that's a helpful narrative. Like,
no, I don't think so at all. I think both of them are harmful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times the people that hold this belief that like you are bad when you're born and now they've turned good and now they can only be good. And it's like, it's not either one. I get so pissed off when people would ask when Charlie was little if he was a good baby, which what they meant was, does he sleep through the night?
Does he make things inconvenient for you?
Yeah. And I'm like, that is so like his. He did not ask to be here. He is this tiny, helpless creature. Like, you cannot spoil a baby. The baby is not manipulating you. Yes, it learns what kind of movements gets its needs met because it is fucking helpless.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, I think that's where my like rage exists, is that like at day dot, it's just already been predetermined for them. And I'm like, what if we just started with a clean slate? Like, what if we just took in each like need or behavior or supported this individual with what they need and like cultivated a space for them and taught them how to build a space around them that would support them instead of being like, you're bad, you must fight yourself, you must resist.
Yeah. I don't know. I think one of the things that makes it tricky is evaluating a child versus an adult. And it's so much easier to say, of course, that baby is not a bad baby. It's crying because it's hungry and it has no other, you know, like, of course. And then there's this line where it's like, can you carry that out to the farthest level of like, of course, that adult is destroying this nation because they haven't had their needs met? You know, like at what point do we find people? Do we get to say, oh, no, that's just bad versus like, oh, that's just an unmet need. That person. An unmet need. Sorry.
I think this is the like crux of it is. And I feel like I am trying to instill in Charlie, like he is responsible for himself, for his needs, like in a developmentally appropriate thing. Like I've watched so many people who have not done the tremendous hard work of healing past traumas or even acknowledging, admitting that they have been hurt or harmed. And then they just spew harm back out. But then when they are like brought to account for it, it's like, oh, but all these sad, hard things happened to me. And it's like, yes, that really, really sucks. I'm so sorry. And also, You are responsible for yourself and you are human in the world and you are like a grown person. You are responsible for not then passing that on.
Mm-hmm.
Like even a little kid who's being like harmed at home, if they're coming at school and being a bully, they can't be a bully. And it really sucks that behavior was like given to them. And so I'm like, okay, how do you like teach them to not be a bully? And then they have to do the work of healing the shit that happened to them. Like, that is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And also, that's just, like, a fucking fact.
Well, and, like, it's also strange to me that, like, not everybody who is harmed at home goes out and is a bully. Like, people have different ways of responding to that, too. And, like, how do you account for that? And how much I think this idea of, like, responsibility, like, when is that line when you are like, well, you're not a baby anymore? When you were a baby, you were not responsible, but at some point you become responsible. And when is that? And I don't know.
Well, I don't either. I don't know any of this. The only thing I know is that I feel really glad that Charlie has never been told he is inherently bad and that I don't think babies are born inherently evil. That's the only thing that I feel like I know from this. And I'm trying to figure out what is the thing that is true? And why are some people so terrible in the world? I don't know.
Question. Do you think that there's been like 5 babies in human history that were born just evil?
Just born evil?
Maybe 5. I don't know. It's like such a weird thought, but like
maybe some are, but I don't think all are.
No, I don't think all are either. And I really do, I don't know, I really do find myself much more drawn to like a neither nor or both and or something. Like, it just seems like we in our attempt to make sense of the world and figure out how to be here, we are so quick to try to categorize and label and come up with a narrative that can help us gain some kind of control and understanding and a way to sort of like, yeah, have control over our children or like how to make sense of this place. And I think that the reality is often just so much more muddled and intricate and complicated than that.
I agree. And I so appreciate the way that you are able to pull that out.
I don't know that it's helpful to anyone.
I think it's incredibly helpful because these like this or that or these strong things, I think, is where stuff gets scary because nothing is always one thing or the other. I don't know. I think the beginning of this was just this like gratitude that I'm getting to do something really different with him. And also this like overwhelming shock that like at such a young, tender age, I was being told such horrible things.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was like really shook me, like being able to see how little and like innocent and wholesome and just like, oh my gosh, while we were walking around Chicago with tons of people, Charlie goes, "I found a new pointer finger," and just is flipping everyone off and he had no idea, you know, like he was just like, he's been learning to snap, like he's been very interested in his hands recently. And so we explained to him that that was like not. That could be read as a really rude gesture. We talked about other gestures of like waving or how we make hearts or like sign language. And so we had this whole conversation with him and then it was, you know, it was funny. So he like kept like using that finger. But then we started talking about using our pinky as a pointer. But it was so, I think that there was a narrative that I grew up with would be like, yep, there's proof. Like my kid's flipping people off. And it's like, that was not like you just rewrote a whole thing that he had no concept of. And it was funny because Andrew and I knew it was happening and we both were like, oh, my God, we're walking around so many people and our kids just flipping them off. And but the way that we approached it was just like explaining. I hope there was no shame. It was just like we were able to be curious with him and explain what this was.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that that is something that he could take for himself going forward. Like if he does something unknowingly or even knowingly that is harmful, to pause and be curious and be like, oh, I just learned that this thing isn't cool. And he doesn't need to shame spiral or justify that he's good, that it could just be like, oh, that was a thing.
Mm-hmm. I do think the shame piece of it is big. And I think that some people are really prone to feeling shame really quickly. I think I was one of those kids. I think, my equivalent of thinking about like Otto we've had some really interesting conversations about being afraid of someone who looks different. I think to me, it feels useful to pay attention to that instinct. Oh, wow, let's name that. That's what you're feeling. But like often when we are unfamiliar, that we are afraid of the things that we don't know. And also, just because we feel that way doesn't mean it's true. And when something is different, even if we feel afraid, it's a good moment to lean in and learn. And right. So it's like, that's maybe not a great impulse, but I don't want you to feel ashamed about it. It's like it's an instinct that you had and we can do something different. We can be aware of it and do something different. So I don't know, in that sense, it's like, it's not a good or bad instinct. It's just an instinct you have. And what could we do with that?
Yes. And I think that not naming it as good or bad removes our need to resist.
It's just awareness. It's information.
If we can just neutrally be like, oh, I just noticed that I'm having this weird feeling about someone because they look different than me or they move through the world differently. And instead of shame spiraling or doubling down and justifying that feeling, to just like be like, oh, okay, interesting. Like, that's not how I want to move through the world. How do I adjust this?
And I think that it's really important. And I think maybe one of the benefits of taking the shame out of it is an ability to remain open and curious. It means a lot to me that Otto would share something like that with me, that he would feel free to name that. And I think that's like the best way to move forward and to be connected and collaborative. So I think I'm every time, oh my gosh, like Otto's been really interested in lying lately and like what it means to lie and the different kinds of lies. And
Charlie too. It's a very interesting thing.
Really? It must be a developmental thing.
I think it is.
But he was telling me, I told a lie today at school. And I was like, the whole time I was just like, all right, how are we responding to this? Knowing that to me, it is very important that you shared that with me. It's very important to me that you feel open about that and that you'd bring me into that experience. And what's my responsibility in teaching you about lying? And how do I do that without instilling shame? I don't know that I was successful, but it's, again, I mean, I think like you were saying that it, given a certain ideology, that that would be like evidence of your badness, that you have this instinct to lie, when maybe part of what it is like a learning how language works and what is true and not true, and what are the different ways that we represent that with each other, and what are the consequences of that? And I mean, it's a complicated thing. We all lie all the time. So how do you teach a kid about that? And I think honesty and ridding the shame from that conversation is like the only way to be able to be present with it and mindful about it and develop the skill around it. Yeah, shame is a huge piece of that, good and bad. And it's not helpful. I mean, it's motivating. I think it's incredibly motivating. Shame like makes humans chase and run and drop and whatever you want them to do, but it's not good for the capital S self command of the pieces and parts. And
no, and it rarely motivates you in a positive direction, in my experience. Like guilt, like feeling remorse or like bad for something is different than this like shame, like I am bad versus I did something that was bad. And having that distinction, I think, is really important.
Brené Brown talks about shame as being the belief that I'm broken and undeserving of love or belonging. And I think that the idea, if shame is the driving force, then we are kind of always stuck in that chasing after belonging, however we can get it. And yeah, I think that that leads to a lot of like disassociation and like action that comes out of like an external, like trying to beat a game versus like any sort of internal knowing. And I think that if I were to say, kind of like you were talking at the beginning about hell and learning that you were bad, I don't remember having like very strong associations or feelings about hell specifically, but I do feel like I developed a sense that I could not trust myself, or that anything that came from inside of me was not to be believed, or it wasn't anything. It was nothing to pay attention to. And if anything, it was something to just sort of ignore or push aside. And I think maybe part of what we're trying to do is allow for that like inner development of that inner self and paying attention to what's happening inside of you and listening to that. And then not always indulging everything that comes from inside of you, but being aware of it and being able to be in the driver's seat of all of that. As opposed to just like, shut it down. All of it is bad. I only can tune into this external set of rules. That's the only way I will know how to behave.
Well, that's the like dying to self. The like anything that comes from you is bad. And that's how in these high control religions, like someone controls you because you could have this like intuitive, you're like, this feels wrong and bad. But if you have already been taught that you are inherently bad, then you could be like, well, this is just proof of my badness. I must do what this other person says because they know it is good.
Yeah, that was a huge part of my my early life was completely making all kinds of ridiculous decisions because I couldn't listen to myself, didn't listen to my inner knowing, my body. I only had this external set of rules. And it is important to me to bring auto to that awareness of self, even just paying attention to like, wow, your heart is beating really fast right now. You know, like just that connection to self, awareness of self.
This is a very interesting conversation to me. And I don't know that there's any answers, but it's something that I think about a lot. So much. I don't know that I have one question for people, but just like, what did this conversation bring up in you? Like, what thing was activated? What did this make you think of? Because I think there's just so many tendrils to it, and we bring so much. And we're watching some really horrible people do some really horrible things. And I'm sure in my life, there are people very close to me that I know who have done some really horrible, unforgivable things. And I don't know how to reconcile that, you know, like there is a point at which people are causing great harm and doing really horrible, evil things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you have any book recs about this, that like even adjacent to this, I would love to have book recommendations.
Okay. Well, that's it for the moment.
Thanks for tuning in to hear us
swirl.
Tumble in circles.
Bye.
Bye.
You tell me when we're done, okay?
This podcast is edited and perfected by the most beautiful wizard and my favorite dude, Micah Jones.
For all the show notes and a transcript of today's episode, check out our Patreon, Scratch That Podcast. This is our hub. It's where you can join the conversation and be part of our community.
If today's episode resonated with you or made you think of someone, share it.
And if you want to support the pod and also make us glow inside, go give a 5-star review on Apple. That would be so lovely.
Thank you for being here, for listening, for being a part of this community.
We love you so much.